Well, please turn with me in God's word to the book of Hebrews and to chapter 12. Hebrews and chapter 12. In the Blue Church Bible, it's on page 1846. Page 1846. And I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 3. Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 1 to verse 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Over the past few months, we've been working our way through Hebrews chapter 11 and into the first few verses of chapter 12. And the title for this series is taken from Hebrews 10 and verse 36. Writing to Christians, the apostle says, "You have need of endurance." You have need of endurance. And that reminds us immediately the Christian life is not an easy life. There are many difficulties associated with being the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially in the days in which we live. And so today we also have need of endurance. We need to go on believing and loving and following our blessed Saviour. You see, it's one thing to believe in Jesus. It's another thing to go on believing in Jesus. It's one thing to have an initial love for the Lord. It's another thing to go on loving the Lord. And that's why the apostolic writer in these verses that we've just read likens the Christian life to a race. And as we all know, there are no prizes at all for those who drop out of the race. To get a place on the podium, to win the prize, the race must be finished. And so it is in the spiritual race as we follow our Saviour. Only those who endure to the end will receive the eternal crown of unfading glory. Now, if that seems rather ominous, there are many encouragements for us. For one thing, according to verse 1 here in Hebrews 12, the Christian is surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And these witnesses refer to the Old Testament people of faith, found in chapter 11, to which we can add the New Testament people of faith down to our time. All those who have followed the Lord, they've run their race, they've received the eternal prize. And as we think of them, it's as if they urge us on as we run our race, and soon we will join them in glory. Another encouragement here, and the greatest encouragement of all, is that we run our race looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2. And as we've said over these past few weeks, the saints surround us, but we are not looking unto them. The eyes of our faith are directed to Jesus only. Christ is the prince, he is the captain, the leader of faith, and he has brought faith to its perfect completion. In his true humanity, Jesus lived a life of faith in complete dependence upon his Father in heaven. And so on this Good Friday morning, we learn that Jesus not only lived by faith, he also died by faith. He suffered, he died, trusting in the promises of his Father concerning his resurrection, his ascension, his exaltation at God's right hand, summarized here as the joy that was set before him. And we'll think more about that joy on Easter Sunday morning, because it includes the joy of his resurrection. So through faith in the promises of God concerning his future joy, Jesus endured the cross, and he despised the shame associated with the cross. It was that promise of joy that enabled him to endure, that sustained him during those dark, agonizing hours. And these are our two very simple headings for this morning. First of all, Jesus endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross. The word endured takes us back again to Hebrews 10, verse 36. You have need of endurance. Jesus endured the cross. During Easter week, as the cross became ever closer and loomed ever larger, Jesus had need of endurance. And on the cross, for those long hours, he had need of endurance. And he found endurance through faith. Through faith in his Father's promise of future joy, the joy that was set before him. Now, as we've said many times in recent years, in this modern age, we have domesticated the cross. The cross has become a rather tame religious symbol, and even, incredibly, a fashion accessory made of gold and silver, and even worn by pop stars and celebrities. But historically, the cross Jesus endured is the most cruel, it is the most barbaric instrument of torture and death ever devised by evil men, ultimately forged in the fires of hell itself. Can you imagine for one moment having huge spikes? I don't think we should think of nails, the sort we buy from B&Q, all smooth and... but having huge, rough spikes hammered through your hands and feet, and then being lifted up to die a very slow, agonizing death, which could take hours. Our word excruciating belongs to the same linguistic family as the word crucifixion. To die by crucifixion was literally excruciating. So why did Jesus endure the cross? In all of its agony, in all of its horror. Why did the incarnate Son of the Father hang there for those hours? Well, we need look no further than the book of Hebrews itself for the answer, which sets Jesus repeatedly before us as the fulfillment of the animal sacrifices offered in the Old Testament. Hebrews 10, verse 11, every priest, that is every Old Testament, Aaronic, Levitical priest, stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, This man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Oh, dear friends, Jesus suffered and died on the cross. He endured the cross as the one sacrifice for our sins. And we, through faith in his precious blood, we are reconciled to God, forgiven, at peace with our Creator. That's why Jesus went to the cross. It's why he endured the cross. And it's a very important reminder for us on Good Friday that the agony of the cross Jesus endured was far more than physical pain. Many people were crucified in those times. Jesus was crucified along with two criminals. But Jesus suffered and died. He endured the cross as the bearer of our sins, as the holy Lamb of God who suffered the divine judgment upon those sins. For Jesus, the cross included spiritual agony of soul. But he endured the cross. So the cross is barbaric. The cross is so horrific. The cross is so terrifying. But on Good Friday, Jesus endured the cross. And he found such endurance through faith in the promises of God concerning his future joy. If I endure all of this pain, then the Father has promised to raise me from the dead and exalt me to his right hand where there is everlasting, perfect joy. Our second heading, very simply, is Jesus despised the shame. He endured the cross and he despised the shame. Now, in this context, it's the shame associated with the cross. Jesus despised the shame of the cross. And again, it reminds us crucifixion not only brought great pain to his body, it also brought a great sense of shame and disgrace to his mind. For one thing, death by crucifixion was reserved for what we might call the scum in Roman society, for the criminals, for the runaway slaves. Those who enjoyed the privilege of Roman citizenship would die by beheading, which compared to crucifixion is very humane. It's over in an instant. Furthermore, the criminal crucified would be stripped of his clothing. And then he would be lifted up to be put, as it were, on public display, public show for many, many hours as his life very slowly drained away. And of course, he would then be ridiculed. He would be cursed by the jeering crowd gathered at the place of execution. It was a form of entertainment in the Roman Empire, just like the gladiators in the arena. In every respect, death by crucifixion was shameful. It was utterly humiliating. We don't like to be humiliated, do we? We like to be honoured. We don't like to feel shame. And it was precisely the same for Jesus when he was crucified. He died the death reserved for the scum in that society, for criminals, runaway slaves, like the two criminals crucified on his right hand and his left. Our Saviour was stripped of his clothing. The Roman soldiers gambled for that clothing. And he was lifted up to be put on public display, public show, for many hours. Potentially, at least, as his life slowly drained away. But of course, Jesus is unique. In his case, he chose the moment of his death. Death by crucifixion for Jesus was shameful. It was utterly humiliating. And to really feel the force of this, we must bear in mind that Jesus was not a criminal. He was not a runaway slave. In fact, our Saviour was not a mere man. He had done nothing wrong. Jesus is the eternal Son of the Father in human form. Christ enjoyed an eternal equality with God. He is worthy of all glory and honour. He has every right to our deepest reverential worship and adoration. And so the shame associated with the cross for Jesus would have been infinitely more painful than for others. As I read earlier this week in my daily psalm, Psalm 69, and verse 17, the Messiah is speaking in the Spirit, and he says, "You know my reproach, my shame, my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart." This affected Jesus so deeply, this shame, this humiliation. But he despised it. Now, we tend to think of the word despise only in an evil sense. That's how it's usually understood. Jesus himself told a parable directed towards those who, quote, trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Luke 18, verse 9. Self-righteous people always do that. They always despise others. They look down on others from their lofty height of their own self-importance with contempt and disdain. But the word despise simply means to think little, to think nothing of something or someone. So, for example, in Psalm 15 and verse 4, it is right and proper that God's redeemed people despise vile people. Not that we hate them. This has nothing to do with malice or ill will. Because it says that we honour those who fear the Lord. It means that this fallen world fawns over its celebrities, but those celebrities are little in our eyes as Christians. We don't make much of them. But we honour those who know and love our Saviour. They may be nobodies, poor and in need. But we honour them because they share our faith. Jesus despised the shame of the cross. He thought little of it, nothing of that shame, even though that shame was so keenly felt by the Saviour. Reproach had broken his heart. Well, how did he despise the shame? In the same way that he endured the cross, through faith in the promises of his Father, in the sure expectation of that joy that had been set before him. As he's hanging there on the cross and enduring such shame and such disgrace, such utter humiliation, it's as if the Lord is thinking, well, yes, this is painful, it's breaking my heart, but in the light of what is before me, this is as nothing. Because eternal fullness of joy is promised to me. In other words, Jesus knew that very soon his shame would be exchanged for glory. That soon his humiliation would give way to exaltation. Or as Paul puts it in Philippians 2, having become obedient to the death of the cross, our Lord knew that soon he would be so highly exalted, given a name which is above every other name. That's how he despised the shame. And this is our focus for Good Friday. It is through faith that Jesus endured the cross and despised the shame. And this is really the culmination of everything that we've looked at in Hebrews chapter 11 and through into chapter 12. Here is Jesus, the ultimate perfect example of persevering faith. Through faith, he endured the cross and despised the shame. So no wonder Jesus is the prince, he is the captain, the leader of faith, as we are called to follow in the footsteps of his faith. And as Christians, we have our own cross to bear. If you're not a Christian this morning, Jesus says, to follow me, you must take up your cross day one to follow me. So let us by faith endure that cross that we bear. As Christians, we are increasingly faced with a certain amount of shame and disgrace in following Jesus. This fallen world doesn't applaud the faithful followers of Christ, far from it. But let us by faith despise that shame. Let's think little of it, nothing of it, compared to the glory that awaits us. The cross will soon give way to the crown, and the shame will soon give way to honour and glory as those who are destined to reign with Christ forever. Was joy set before Jesus? Well, joy has been set before us. That's the whole point of this part of the letter. And so, dear friends, for the joy that has been set before us, may we endure the cross and despise the shame. Just like our captain, just like our leader. May we continue to run this race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, with the eyes of our faith firmly fixed upon him. And our best and heavenly friend, he will lead us through the thorny ways of this world to such a joyful end, which in reality is a joyful beginning, stretching into all eternity. And I pray that this morning we will either begin to follow the Lord for the first time, to take the first step, or that we will continue to follow the Lord if we do so already. May God bless his word to our hearts. Amen.